I'm about to deliver a significant sermon. We just sang Chains Fell, and what was the next line? My heart is free. Unless you experience mercy of God, you're chained with hatred, mainly towards your father. Okay, I just want to throw that at you randomly, because I know there are people affected by that statement. Okay, your father, it becomes your chain. And mercy of God will set you free. Only the mercy of God. Or else you live with that chain in your life for the rest of your life. So today the title of the message is Blessed Are the Merciful. And we are continuing our series on Beatitude. It's the kingdom manifesto of the new kingdom. Soon, next week, we'll have an election and we'll have a new government in January. That's a pretty big deal for the whole world. But 10,000 times more important, kingdom has come. Do you understand that? If you don't see that, then you're just listening to some nice suggestion today. Nicer ethical suggestion. Yes, I need to be a little bit better. I need to be a little bit more merciful. You're ruined if you hear it like that. This is not what that is about. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, is the kingdom manifesto of the new kingdom. Okay, do you belong to that kingdom? I want to nudge you, and you may not be, and there are a lot of you may not be. There are people who are kingdom citizens, and there are some of you who are not kingdom citizens. And you know it if you are. You don't say, like, you don't try to justify. And one of the signs, one of the evidence, proof of kingdom citizenship is merciful heart. Are you merciful? What would be opposite of merciful? Let me describe it to you. It'll be merciless, of course. But I think it's indifference. I really thought about it. You really don't care about anyone else. You really don't care about anyone else. Any lost, any robbed life, someone who's been robbed, half dead, you see it and you don't care. That's merciless life. You only care about yourself. In fact, you're so ingrained and so like captured by your own bitterness of your own life. Okay? So who then is merciful? Well, I really did study because I was off last Sunday. I didn't preach. So I had a chance to think about this word. I love this. I love this message, mercy. Mercy and forgiveness. I do. I think it is the central message of the gospel of Christ. If you don't understand the mercy of God toward your wretched life, you don't understand Christ, period. Okay? So there was only one person in the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, who the adjective merciful is used. God, Lord, is gracious and compassionate. He's gracious and merciful. That's his nature. He's full of mercy. So my question to you is, are you merciful? Are you indifferent? Pretty much indifferent. I'm not talking about throwing here, dollar there, and feeding one person there once in a while. It's not that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about full of mercy. We're talking about inclination. We're talking about your nature. Christianity, when you're born again, your nature changes. I pause because I want you to think about this. You don't like try to become a son. When you are born, you are a son. And baby grows. Baby naturally becomes like the father. That's the birth. Your nature changes. Your sin nature, our sin nature, when we were birthed, is very, by nature, very self-centered, self-glorifying. We talked about glory of Christ last week. But when you become a Christian, you want to glorify Christ. Small difference? No small difference. This is a major difference. Very vague difference? No, it's very clear difference. Okay? So, there's only one person in the Old Testament and the New Testament, same thing. The adjective merciful is only used for Christ. And I'm going to describe that. Aren't you thankful that he's merciful? If he's just, he's just as indifferent as you are towards you, then what would happen to you and me? We are ruined forever, right? But he's merciful. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Here's the wonder of the gospel. Omniscient God will remember your sin no more. Can you think about that? He's omniscient. You don't even have to say anything. He knows you. He knows what you're about. He knows your intention. He knows your deep things. He knows the word that before the word is on your tongue, Bible says. He knows you. He's omniscient. He knows the past, present, future. He doesn't even have a past, present, future. He's omnipresent. He knows all things, but he's going to forget your sin. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's pretty amazing if you think about it. Do you forget your wife's sin? Husbands? Oh, sorry, I see three husbands. You retain it. You store it in a safe place, and you take it out in the right time. Human beings don't have the ability to forget sin. But human beings has given an ability to reinterpret the sin by the grace of God. Did you catch that? You don't have the ability to forget. I mean, you forget, but like someone wronged you, your father wronged you. Your father beat up your mother every single day. He's a drunkard. I mean, this is a common story in Asian Americans, in Africa, in Philippines, everywhere in the world. So don't be offended if that applies to you. Your father is an alcoholic, drunkard, irresponsible, never provided for the family, never cared about you. He was indifferent about you. How do you forget that? You don't forget that. You retain it deep inside, and you get married, and that's your chain. That's your chain. I see so many people with chain. That's your chain. And you parent your children with that chain. You go to work and do church or work with that chain. That is why there is no life and freedom, because you are chained. But I pray to God today, because I do believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you do believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. You know Greg Laurie? He's a pretty famous person. What is that organization, Greg Laurie organization? Greg Laurie, Google it. Okay, he's a really famous person, and he shares. He grew up with a father with four wives, divorced four times. Did any of your parents divorce four times? He talks about that. He shares that. Now he's been preaching the gospel to all over the world. That gospel has the power to set your people free. That you don't have to live in bitterness toward, resentment toward your father for the rest of your life. Because his mercy flows like a river. I love that song. There is none like you, for no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search all eternity long, and there is none like you. And then the pictorial line, mercy flows. I love that expression. You know, Bible is very pictorial. It's not like, you know, just statement. Bible is very pictorial. And mercy flows. God's mercy flows. It flows because there was a waterfall of God's grace on Calvary. You know, I share this all the time. Christianity begins with God. There was a waterfall, that's why there has got to be a river. If there was a waterfall upon your life one day, there's got to be a river in your life. That's what today's message is. Blessed are the merciful. Who are the blessed in this kingdom? The word barak, blessed, means knees, your knees. Your knee has been bent before the Lord. Have your knees been bent before the Lord? Would you say amen? If you are confident that you have bent your knees before the Lord, would you say amen?
Amen.
If not, you need to come to Christ. You're still not a Christian. You're not. You're not. Until you're married, you're not married. I love her. I've been cohabiting for like 5 years. We love each other. We care for each other. You're still not married. You understand that? Yeah. Because in this situation, anytime you could say goodbye, and there is no responsibility. There is no real lifetime commitment. Christianity never works like that. Marriage never works like that. That's why the world is a chaotic situation right now. So who could be merciful? Someone who are full of mercy. Someone who has Christ and God in his life. That's what this is. This is not a ethical teaching. You should care for the poor people. You should feed some people. No, it's not that. If you look at Christianity like that, you're ruined because you are a religious person. You're ruined. Okay? We need to see that I am not merciful. I need the mercy of God. Can I possibly forgive my father? Absolutely, people. I'll forget his sin no more. Okay? We're studying the first sermon that Jesus, Son of God, King Messiah, preached of the newly inaugurated kingdom. January of next year, in Washington, D.C., there's going to be, I don't know who's going to be the president. Okay? But this is going to, that's awesome, isn't it? Yo-Yo Ma plays cello and, I don't know, Beyonce. It may not be Beyonce. Yeah, I don't know who's going to be singing. But 10,000 times more importantly, the inaugurated kingdom of God. Are you part of that kingdom? He came and he declared, and this is the manifesto or the declaration of the new kingdom. And the first thing that he said was, repent, for the kingdom is near. That's like warning. That's a warning. You know, Christianity warns you. The message is the same. The king is coming back. You must repent. And you're not listening. In our discipleship class, we're reading Genesis. Anybody in Genesis? Right? Genesis. Yeah, I was reading about, Noah. Noah's story is not a cute story. I was reading it this week. I was like, whoa, this is such a severe, scary story. What is Noah's story is about? Do you know? It's about the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Why did he do that? There is a statement. Because every thought and every inclination of every human being, everything was evil. That's why. And I was thinking about that. That's exactly how a human being is right now. Total depravity. Every inclination of every thought of every human being is evil before the eye of the Lord. And he repented. He was sorry that he created man. So let me wipe it out. And he has to do that because he's righteous and he's holy. Now think with me. Okay, it takes a little bit of thinking. If he's perfectly, infinitely holy and let you slide by with all these evil, then he's not holy. He's loosely holy. You understand that? So he must attack and destroy and punish sin and evil. That's his holiness. And the functional nature of that is the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Some of you follow that. Okay, I'm glad. That's why he's holy. That's why there is a judgment. That's why there is wrath of God. And Jesus is perfectly holy. Christ, God, is perfectly holy. That's why there is going to be a judgment. And he's warning you, repent. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband. Don't blame your baby. I have two babies. I cannot walk with the Lord. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Anyway, I have to pay the bills. You can't do that. Well, you know, I go to this church and then, you know, they don't really teach the Bible. You can't do that either. You have the Bible. And you are hearing it right now. So last 4 weeks, we have looked at the first four of the Beatitudes. Beatitude meaning supreme blessing. What's blessing in your mind? It doesn't matter. Blessing that Jesus is referring to, that you belong to kingdom. If you think knowing Jesus and belong to the kingdom is the greatest blessing, would you be willing to say amen? I don't know about you, but absolutely true. Because unless you are part of that kingdom, doesn't matter how much money you have, you'll be headed to destruction. That's what the word of Christ says. So we talked about first four last week, which has to do with relationship with God. And we're going to talk about the next four, which has to do with the relationship with other human beings. That sounds like the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? First four has to do with your relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, and keep your Sabbath holy. And then the rest of them, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not covet. All these things has to do with your relationship. And right in the between, what is that? Number five, what's the fifth commandment? Your father and mother. It connects the two. It's the window that you see the whole world through. You hate your mother, you're going to see the whole world with that window. You hate your father, that's the lens that you're going to see the whole world with. That totally makes sense, right? So if you have grudge and deep resentment towards your father, you're going to hate every authority, including God. Every authority, including God. Including your pastor, including your president. You know, I'm teaching African pastors on Tuesdays, and we're studying through 1 Peter. 1 Peter is about Christians undergoing persecutions from the Roman Empire. But it's pretty amazing because Peter is writing to Christians who are going through persecutions, and yet he reminds of his great salvation, and then says, submit to your government. And every single person in African, I was like a little bit thrown back. You know, just, how can we possibly listen to a government who's not kind to our Christianity? Hello, First Peter, what's the context of this teaching? Roman Empire, who's persecuting Christians, but and yet, just deep inside, they have a hatred. So I just kind of throw the bomb at them. How about your father? Do you submit to them? Do you have mercy toward your father? Because I already know, I've been going to Africa for 20 years. So many Africans, just like Asian Americans here, the family is ruined. Family is destroyed. Divorce. Irresponsibility. Drunkard. Not responsible. You know, all over the world, the family is broken. And they, all of a sudden, they were silent. It really is the case. Deep inside, you all have to deal with that. All of you have to deal. You can't just like brush it off and just do your own family. Because that's the window that you see the whole world through. Okay? So mercy is pretty amazing topic. And God is merciful. And Christ is merciful. Okay? What does that word mean? It means you feel compassionate when you see someone who is like robbed. Compassionate meaning your emotion begin to move. Some people, that doesn't even happen. Do you agree? There is someone who's robbed and half dead, and you see it, and your emotion begin to move. That's mercy. But mercy is not just the emotion. Mercy, that emotion makes you act. That's mercy of God. Okay? So it is, mercy is compassion in action. Mercy flows. If you have the waterfall, there's going to be river in your life. If you don't have any river, maybe waterfall never happened. Okay, so that's what mercy is. And who is merciful? And I want to introduce that word, one passage from the New Testament. There are so many, but it refers to God and Jesus, who is merciful, the adjective merciful, and it's from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 is about, let me explain what Hebrews is. Hebrews chapter 2 is comparing Old Testament sacrifice with the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus. Very simple. You got to catch this. Old Testament sacrifice, priests stand between God and the people, and they bring animal sacrifice to bring peace for the sin they have committed to God. That's what high priest does. You catch that? Animal gets killed. You sinned, but animal gets punished. What is that? Grace of God. Forgiveness of God. Does that make sense to you? You committed the crime and you send your dog. It doesn't happen in your United States government. Right? Does that work? Doesn't work. But to God, God allows that. What is that? God's grace. God's grace. Okay? But Old Testament sacrifice, it was just a shadow. Animals' blood, animals' death never atones and cancels sin. It only points towards the real sacrifice. That's what Hebrews is saying. So what is the sacrifice of the New Testament? Jesus is the high priest, someone who stands between God and men. Jesus is the sacrifice. His blood, his life is the sacrifice. And what is the temple and altar? Calvary cross is the temple and the altar. Everything is Christ and the cross of Christ. And Bible says in Hebrews, once and for all, his perfect sacrifice atone all the sins of humanity. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. Okay? That's explaining Hebrews in 2 minutes. But if you catch that, it'll make sense if you begin to read it. In fact, if you catch that, gospel will begin to make sense. Here is what Hebrews chapter 2 says. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than angels. He became a human being. Namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. He was glorified on the cross. Glory of Christ. Because of the suffering death, referring to the cross. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death. A lot of people don't catch this. He became a human being, look at me, so that he will have a body, so he will hang on a tree and die. I don't know whether that gives you any chill. We were studying John's Gospel last Friday, and this sister, who's very bright, who went to church all her life, I was explaining to this particular truth. Jesus became a man so that he could die. And then, whoa, wait a minute. It just kind of like dawned on her. Oh, 소름 끼쳐. Like I get chill going down my, I love that. I know to some of you it's a new thing and nobody expresses that. But she says, wow, that's why he became a man. You mean Jesus is a man? Yes, he is man, and he's God. God, man. Perfectly God, perfectly man. Therefore, he's the only mediator between God and man, the high priest. It begins to make sense. Okay? So that he may taste death. Can I just ask you, do you like tasty food, Steve? You don't like food, right? Okay, forget it. That's the wrong person. Yeah. We love taste, right? What was the taste of death Jesus experienced? Now think with me, people. Don't check out. What was the taste? You know, we are so into taste. What was the taste of death that Jesus experienced? He tasted unhindered, uninhibited, unreserved wrath of God. Let me repeat that, because I know you don't think about things like this. He tasted on the cross uninhibited, unreserved wrath of God, once and for all. You have no idea what that is. He tasted death because he became a man. Okay? Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you keep my word, if you believe in me, you will never taste death. Do you think those two tastes are connected? Absolutely connected. I think that's what the gospel is. Korean say, would you like to taste it? 맛 좀 볼래? That's a Korean expression. Would you like to taste death of judgment of God? For it was fitting, verse 10, for it was fitting for him for whom and by whom all things exist. Could you think with me? Christ, for all things, for him and by him, everything exists. You exist for him. You exist by him. He could take your insanity away like this right now. He could take your sanity away like this right now, just like Nebuchadnezzar. You're proud? I'm going to take your sanity away. He could do that like that. He's the Almighty God. All things, and by him, and by him, for him, all things exist. And he became a man so that he may bring many sons to glory. We are in glory. Church is in glory and glorify God. That's Christianity, people. Church is not about you come to church and you get rich. Church is not about you come to church and you feel a little better. You are in the glory of God. Should make the founder of the salvation. Jesus is the founder of salvation. Only founder of salvation, only high priest. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's man, Christ Jesus. And it dawned on her. Man, Christ Jesus. Capital M. Man, Christ Jesus. And all have one source. And then verse 14 says, since, therefore, Christians, brothers, children share in the flesh and the blood. We have flesh and the blood. Jesus himself likewise partook the same thing. He took the flesh and the blood so that through his death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That's not a small statement, right? If this kind of things doesn't like intrigue you, maybe your mind is in the wrong place. Through his death, he destroyed the devil. He destroyed the devil. The head was crushed. He has a head problem right now. The serpent bit the heel of Jesus on the cross, but Jesus crushed his head on the cross. Okay, so through his death, he might destroy the one who has power of death, and that is the devil, and secondly, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. How many of you are not fearful of death? Look at me. I'm in 20s, come on. Trust me, it'll happen to you. How many of you are not fearful of death? I am. But let me ask you a follow-up question. How many of you are not fearful of judgment? Because the Bible says all men are destined to die, and then there is a judgment. You should be fearful of that. Yes, going through the process of death is scary. You know, like how much pain? I don't know. How much morphine do I need to take? How long will it take? Maybe it will be a lingering death. Maybe it will be a stroke and take 10 years to die. That's kind of scary. The slavery of death, fear of death. But then there is a judgment. But Jesus delivered from that fear and the subject of lifelong death, and destroy the devil who has the power of death. Death has been abolished, seized. That's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will never die and you will never taste death. If you believe it, would you say amen?
Amen.
That's Christianity, people. And that's, you understand mercy then. That's mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps offspring of Abraham. That's those who are in Christ. Okay? Doesn't matter what ethnicity, offspring of Abraham by faith became children of God in Christ. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. Jesus had to become a man in every respect so that he might become, here's the word, merciful and faithful high priest. He's the only mediator between God and men, and praise God that he's merciful. Do you see that? That's the word mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Merciful and faithful. What if God is just like you or me, seeking justice right now? What's going to happen to you? You're already dead forever. But he's merciful. What is mercy? Seeing someone who's half dead and emotion moves. The bowel. In the Hebrew word, it's your intestine. Bowel moves and you move, you act. Sent his son. That's mercy. Mercy of God. Okay? Pretty amazing. Who's merciful? Jesus is merciful, and he's a merciful and faithful high priest in service of God. Last point I want to try to make, why that is important. Make propitiation for the sin of the people. That's the key word. Let me explain that word. That's a very important word. He became a man through his death to make propitiation. The word propitiation is holiness word. I already explained to you, because he's holy, any sin and evil he's going to have to attack and destroy and punish. You understand that? So every sin of every human being, John MacArthur states that like that, every sin of every human being must be punished. How do you know? The cross of Christ through his son. What could be a better proof of that? Okay, I'll let you slide. God never does that. Not even one. Because he's perfectly holy. He must attack. He must destroy. And he must finish it. That's his holiness. And the functional attribute of that is the wrath of God. So that's a wrath word and holiness word. Propitiate. Sin has been placed upon him. He bore your sin and mine. That's if you put your life into him. And that sin has been propitiated. The wrath of God was poured upon him, and his justice has been satisfied. That's what that word means. Very important word. That word is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's mercy, people. Small mercy. Small mercy. You could just brush it off and live your own life. Fall asleep. No. Even if I give my whole life for the rest of my life, even if I give my everything to him, what is that compared to what he has given me? Kind of mercy. Okay? So that's merciful. Who is merciful? God is merciful. And why is he saying then, blessed are the merciful? Because if you experience that mercy, you will be merciful. Because he lives in you. Are you merciful? Or are you pretty indifferent? merciless. In fact, you're bitter. You still hold on to that grudge. Today, I pray that God will set you free. Really pray that I pray that God will set you free. Otherwise, you're going to live like that for the rest of your life, and then you'll be like that for the eternity. Okay? So, what does that look like? Only two places I'm going to introduce. How does merciful life, if you're a merciful person, what does that look like? Only two places. Number one, Matthew chapter 18, you will forgive and even forget. Okay? There's a story of a king who settles account at the end. And there are many stories like that in the New Testament. And do you know what judgment is? He's going to settle account with you. You owe him. You sin, you offended at him, and you owe to him. And you're going to have to pay. And that's what this illustration or parable is about. And there was a king who wants to settle an account, and a servant comes, okay? Servant John comes. I'm going to use, okay? And he owes God 10,000 talents. Stay with me. One talent is 600 denarii. One denarii is one man's one daily wage. So 600 denarii is 20 years of wage. Catch that? So 10,000 talents, that's 1,000 talent, one talent. 10,000 talent is what it takes for a man to work 200,000 years. Meaning, you can never pay back. According to the law at the time, if you cannot pay back in the time of settlement, you're going to have to be arrested and be a slave and thrown into prison, your whole family. So it was a very desperate situation. Settling the account. So the slave... the servant, John, decide to beg for mercy. Lord, King, please be patient with me. Be merciful to me. I will pay you back everything. How? I don't know. Did he mean it? I don't even know. But he was begging for mercy on his knees and begging for mercy. And verse 27, amazing thing happens. The king looked at him and he was merciful toward him. And not only give him more time, but he canceled the debt and let him go. What is that? Mercy of God. If you know what that is, that's the mercy of God. So that's part one. Part two, that servant, he goes out and meets another servant who owes first servant 100 denarii. Which means about 3 months' wage. 3 months' wage. Let's say that's about $20,000. Does that sound good? Okay, don't do math. $20,000. So it's not nothing. It's a significant amount of money, but compared to what it takes 200,000 years, that's negligible. And yet, this servant who just experienced this amazing mercy of the king, and began to choke him and began to being merciless toward him. Corner him. Choke him. Give me my money. Now or else I'm going to throw you and your family into the prison. Showing mercilessness. Do you see the difference? That's part two. And the king find out about this. So king summons the first servant that he has shown mercy, and yet he's be willing to be not merciful, not forgiving to another human being. And this is what the king said to the servant. You, look at me, you wicked servant. I have shown mercy because you asked me. I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded. You pleaded with me. Should you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? Very logical, right? More than logical. And then his commentary, final statement. So this is what Jesus says. My heavenly Father will do the same to every one of you. If you do not forgive your brother, your Father is not going to forgive you. It's a pretty serious statement, isn't it? If you don't forgive your father, if you don't forgive your brother, Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And yet so many people struggles with that bitterness and resentment toward their father and their brother or their husband, divorced wife. This is like throughout history. Pretty serious statement. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it again. If you forgive others their sins, Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others sin, neither will the Heavenly Father will forgive you. Now that's a trouble, isn't it? So what do we do? Because you don't forgive. You live with that. You hate that. And you're married with that. You're parenting child with that. What do you do? What happened? You know, deep inside in human beings, we want people who have wronged me, we want them to suffer, don't you? We even picture and imagine him getting killed. I don't know about you. I have. I wish he was hit by a car and died. We want him to pay for what they have done to me. We want justice. Don't you? We're not merciful. We can't be merciful. Deep inside, we want them to suffer. So, what do you do with this statement? Don't take this statement lightly, people. If you don't forgive, Father will not forgive you. So what do we do? What can we do? Until you experience God's amazing forgiveness on the cross for your sin. And you're set free from your chain. So many people are living in chain. That's why a face shows it. That's why your relationship reveals it. That's why there is no progress in your walk. Because you are living in chain. So many people are. That's precisely what the gospel is dealing with. That's precisely what the gospel is dealing with. Forgiveness of God. If you understand the forgiveness of God, if you experience the forgiveness of God upon your life, which is like the 10,000 talents, something you could never pay. And yet if you would humble yourself and seek mercy, he would pardon your sin. He will cancel your debt and he will forgive you. That's the gospel of Christ. And until you experience it, you don't know what I'm talking about. Once you experience that and you see what Christ has done, Christ tastes my death that I need to taste. He tastes the death in my place completely and freely, and God remembers sin no more. Do you owe any money to people? Did you ever experience pardon from somewhere? $10,000? $20,000? $50,000? We rarely experience something like that. But can you even imagine someone, John, forget $10,000. You're probably ready to buy everybody dinner. No? Yeah. If you experience forgiveness, you will forgive other people. Absolutely, people. Can you imagine? You are pardoned of 10,000 talents. You are ready to forgive anybody and everybody, including your alcoholic father. And you trust and believe in the power of the forgiveness and atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you became a Christian, and your chain has been set free. If that's you, would you say amen? And then there is rest of you. And then there is rest of you. I'm not teasing you. I am inviting you. Come to repentance. Come in repentance. You need to come in repentance and seek the forgiveness of God. How do you do that? Get on your knees, just like that person. Humble yourself. You have no way out, people. You have no way out. You will be settling account at the end. Okay? The second place we see the mercy pretty clearly is the Good Samaritan. I'm gonna be quick. Okay? A lawyer came to Jesus and kind of like testing Jesus. You know, people do that. Pastor, what happens to those people who never heard the gospel? They always like to ask that question. What about you? Are you saved? I always tell them. So they're poking on Jesus and basically say, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, look at me. This is about salvation issue. What must I do to have eternal life? Now, who asked that question in the Bible? The rich young ruler. And it's the same approach. These kind of cocky people, God always approached the same people. Obey the law. Okay? How do you see the law and how do you interpret it? And he goes, yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love God and love my neighbors as myself. Oh, that's correct. Do it. Okay, go. That's what Jesus said. And then he kind of probably like bummed out and he says, try to justify himself. Then who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this story. A man was walking from New York to Flushing and met robbers, Korean gangs, I don't know, you know. And he was robbed and beat and thrown and half dead. Could you picture that? Somewhere in Bayside. First person is a priest, pastor. He sees him and he passes by in a different way. That's how it reads. He saw him and he passes by in a different way. Second person that Jesus introduced is a Levite, so probably a religious leader, so elder, whatever, elder, deacon, whatever, small group leader. He sees him and then he passes by on the other side. The third person in the story of Jesus is the Samaritan. And Samaritan and the Jews are like, I don't know how to describe it. Jews looked at Samaritan like dogs, literally like dogs, subhuman. Okay, they are mixed race and they are just subhuman. But Samaritan was passing by and he saw and he had mercy. Okay? Here's the word, mercy. He saw and he had compassion and mercy. So what did he do? He came close to him. He went to him. Bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own donkey or animal and brought him to a local, local small hospital and took care of him. I think that is amazing. But he goes further. Next day, he took out 2 denarii, so maybe $500. Let's say $500. And gave to the hotel owner and saying, take care of him. And whatever more you need, I'm going to pay you when I come back. Now that's like extra, extra miles. So illustration is pretty clear. Okay. And then Jesus asked that lawyer, I'm asking you, which of the three do you see that prove to be the neighbor of that robbed person? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy. Yes, go do likewise and you will have eternal life. Do you see it? Are you merciful? Are you merciful? Do you care? You see it. Ministry, I look at it as a people are robbed in their lives. So many people are robbed with their marriage, with their parents, they're robbed. You see them. But you're so bound up in your own little bitterness, bitter heart. Do you see the disconnect? Who is the one who is showing love to his neighbor, one who shows mercy? Go do likewise, and then you will have eternal life. How do you connect them? We don't have that kind of mercy. But when you meet the merciful Christ, your nature changes, your life changes. That's the kingdom message. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It's not a moral lesson here, right? Yeah, to help out poor people, help out, send some money to Africa. It's not a moral lesson, people. Your nature needs to change. And the only way your nature will change from your selfish, self-loving, bitter nature is when you meet Christ on Calvary. If you know him, you can never hide it. You can never hide it. It's like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's what Jesus said. When you meet Christ, you can never hide it. You're not sleepy. You're not always tired. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. City on a hill. New York City. Can you hide it? You can never hide it. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. And let me close, okay? Are you merciful? If not, maybe you do not know the merciful one. Maybe you don't. Look at me. Maybe you don't know the merciful one. Yeah, I went to church all my life. Yeah, she went to church all her life and she didn't even know Jesus was a man. Did you know? I'm not saying like academic information will change. No, but certain things you have to understand it to believe it. There's no way to believe it otherwise. It needs to be understood to believe it. Jesus became a man, and he's the merciful and faithful high priest to make propitiation of your sin. You got to understand that. That you need to understand, because that's what the gospel is. Okay? Here's the promise. The promise of the King and the Messiah is, blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. Did you receive mercy? Look at me, people. Don't yarn and fall asleep right now. Did you receive mercy? Do you know what I'm talking about? I thought about this last night. Mercy of the cross. Mercy of the cross now. Mercy of the cross in the final judgment. Everything is from the merciful high priest. Mercy of the cross in the past. That's the only way I'll be set free from the chain. Or else you're in chain. You're in chain. You hate your father. You hate your government. You hate your pastor. You hate your boss. You hate everybody, basically. But the mercy of the cross in the past. Mercy of the cross now. Because that's what the Holy Spirit reminds me. Right? Mercy of the cross now. He bore my sin and completely eradicated and propitiated my sin. And in the final judgment, I was so merciful. I was such a great man. No. But God will show mercy upon your life at the end. And I just pray that you will understand the gospel of mercy, not moral lessons of mercy. I hope you hear the difference. Yeah, I got to do better. No. You need to repent and come to Christ with your life fully. Let's pray.